Let's open the scriptures to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, and we have moved to a very powerful section dealing with a picture of Christ formed in you, dealing with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So let's prepare ourselves in prayer that we can see what's going on and see how this is Christ being formed in you. Let's pray. Father, we come tonight before the throne, acknowledging our total dependency upon the Spirit of the living God whom you have sent to us to illuminate for our scripture. We depend totally upon him by faith to illuminate and to open our eyes as to what's going on in the scriptures and what these verses mean, and very especially when we come to various words of truth and good and understanding all of these things, Heavenly Father. The flesh simply cannot do it, no matter how intelligent we may think we are. These are things that are revealed by your Spirit. And just as we trusted in your Son for eternal life, we trust in your Spirit for the illumination of Scripture. Pray, Father, that you'll protect us from the powers of darkness that would seek to intrude upon our seeing these things. Pray, Father, that you'll be with me tonight. Give me the words of clarity, accuracy, truth, and simplicity. Your Spirit will reveal these things to all of us, Father, here and on tape. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we're in the section dealing with the fruit of the Spirit. And last night we took up the first three. And remember, what we are in the midst of looking at is Christ being formed in us. Also remember that this is the fruit of the Spirit. This is not the fruit of the flesh. This is not something that you and I work on this list, and if we work real hard, we'll get these things to come about. That's not what's going on. These are the fruit of the Spirit. Only He produces these things in us, pours these things in us. And so we understand these things, and we have to walk by faith, trusting Him to do it. We have noted that the love that He pours is the love of Jesus Christ. We have noted that the fruit of the joy is the joy of Jesus Christ, that my joy might be in you. We have noted that it is the peace of Jesus Christ. It's His peace. And we've seen scriptures on each one of these. Now tonight we come to another one, patience. Patience. There are different words for patience in the scriptures. This is the one, the same word that we have in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love is macrothumia, or long-suffering. So here we have patience. It could easily be translated long-suffering. I like this one because, again, if we translate it long-suffering, even though we're not talking about love here, we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, what you get into the picture is the ideal of suffering, because it has been granted to us not only to believe in Him, but to suffer for His benefit, Philippians chapter 1. How can I continue in that? This is one of the fruit of the Spirit, is long-suffering. So this is the long-suffering, or the patience of Jesus Christ again. If you'll look with me at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. First Timothy 1:16, and yet for this reason I found mercy, in order that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate His perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in Him for eternal life. Boy, I would love to spend time dealing on the fruit of the Spirit coming from our Savior, because there is so much in this one verse in dealing with the long-suffering of Jesus Christ. What the main thing I want you to know is that this long-suffering is given to Him, given to us, by the person of the Holy Spirit. Note in this verse, though, why this is a fruit of the Spirit. And it deals with leading others to salvation, leading them to a redemption. And yet for this reason, I, Paul, found mercy, received mercy. Why? In order that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate His perfect patience. Now, often when you are leading someone to Christ, when you are bringing someone to the light of walking by faith, you can't believe sometimes the long suffering it's going to take. The patience. You just got to work ever so slowly. It may be all your life. I don't want to get on tapes, different names, and embarrass people and things, but I happen to know, say Linda McNeil's been in prayer for a long time for certain people, and is still dealing with it, and may deal with it the rest of her life. And I'm sure all of you have the same experience, but there are just times that you're dealing with someone to either bring them into salvation one, or bring them into the spirit-filled life, and it isn't even one of those. It isn't a relationship where, okay, you don't want it. I've made it clear. I know that you understand. So as Paul did, I brush off the dust and I move on, and will witness to someone else. Because of the circumstances, because of the family relationship, because of the friendship, because of work, whatever it may be, it's just that person is there. And you have to continue to be patient with them in bringing them to the truth. So this is why it's there. So I wanted you to see that. Throughout the life of Jesus Christ, He demonstrated long suffering. If we had time, the long suffering of Christ in dealing with His disciples, especially some like Peter, dealing with Mary, Martha, so many. And this is the same thing that will come through to us when we are walking by faith in the Spirit. He will pour in the same long suffering into us. How will it come across? Again, and I want to emphasize this where it's appropriate. We don't know. That's the beauty of this. I am compelled by long suffering, patience, to do this. People might say, well, why are you putting up with him? And why are you doing this? Even other Christians. Why don't you just forget it? I don't know. And that'd be a wonderful answer. I really don't know. I know what you're saying. It'd be good to walk. And I probably could, but just something inside compels me not to. And to me, that's what I'm trying to say to you. We can't make a law out of this. I don't know how it's going to look. I don't know how long suffering's going to look every day, even with the same person or with different persons in our lives. But all I know is that by patience, by long suffering, this is what I'm going to do. And I'll do it my whole life, probably. I don't even know that. So this is one of the beautiful things about it. Look with me at 2 Peter chapter 3. Just picking out a few things in some of these that we can get a hold of. The fruit of the Spirit, it's Christ formed in you. This is the patience of Christ. It belonged to Him, and the Holy Spirit pours that same patience, that same long suffering into us. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. But according to His promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found in Him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord, again, it's His patience, to be salvation, to be deliverance, just as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, wrote to you. So again, it's the patience or the long suffering that belongs to Christ is given to us, and this is what the Holy Spirit pours into us. This is Christ being born in or formed in you. Now, what happens between two believers when one sins against the other. What's going to happen? We studied in Galatians chapter 5, 19 through 21, a long list. Immorality, impurity, sensuality, divisions, jealousy, factions, outbursts of anger, on and on and on. What happens, people, from our perspective, when another believer does not treat us in the manner in which they should? So often believers take the failure of others as an excuse now. I can go to law. I can now gossip. I can now tell everybody about them because they have done this. And that gives me the liberty. I can now react in this manner because they failed. I now have a right by the law to do this. No. Scripture is not silent on what we do. This is when we're walking by faith in the Spirit, long suffering instead of reacting. Long suffering to cause them, to help them to be restored. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. 1 Thessalonians 5, 14. And we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all men. Okay, isn't that, that sounds wonderful. But again, when you deal with these kind of things, you got to ask the question, how am I supposed to do that? This is the great issue that separates the body of Christ. How am I supposed to be patient with all men? How am I going to know how to admonish, how to encourage, how to help? By knowledge of doctrine, by just learning a lot of psychology and a lot of therapy and learning all these principles, how to sit down with someone and make them feel good about themselves? Or can I trust His Spirit to lead me? Can I trust His Spirit to give me patience with all men? And people, this is what I contend is saying, Scripture is saying. This is what the Holy Spirit will do if we just trust Him. He will give us the patience. This comes from Him. James chapter 5, a moment. Look at James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verse 8. I like James 5:8. We just read in 1 Thessalonians 5:14, be patient with all men. In James 5:8, it's concerning yourself. I like this. Look at it. You too, be patient. Strengthen your heart, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. So, this is things going on in your life, in Christ being formed in you, in obtaining a righteous life, reaching spiritual love, and reaching all these things, and you're going to become impatient. And the Holy Spirit is going to give you this impatience, but before I say that, look, how am I going to do this? Be patient. That sounds good. That's real good for you to say. I'm the one hurting here. So this isn't just be patient, brother. How am I going to be patient? How am I going to have this long suffering? Comes back, this is the fruit of the Spirit. So what are we saying? Walk by faith in Him. Walk by faith in the one sent, and He will do it. This is how we have this patience. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Moving back to or Galatians. Ephesians 4, verse 2. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love. Oh, man, this one's filled with it. How do I get the humility? Pull my head down and roll my shoulders and say, I don't hardly deserve anything in life? Be careful how you say that. All your friends will say, boy, you don't. Glad you finally realized that. What's humility? Gentleness. How do we know? How does that come across? What is gentleness? I know how to be gentle with a baby. I know how to be gentle maybe with a little kitten. But what does it mean, gentle? And then with patience, showing forbearance. I don't even know what forbearance means. I'll have to go look it up so I can do it. To one another, and then it says, in love. And that just threw us all out. This whole verse comes to the question, how? How am I supposed to get the humility, the gentleness, the patience, the forbearance, and the love? How am I going to get any one of these? All of these? With the fruit of the Spirit. To walk by faith, trusting in Him, He, God, the Holy Spirit, gives all of these things. Okay, long-suffering, fruit of the Holy Spirit. This is the long-suffering of Christ formed in you. The next one, kindness. Kindness. Okay, this is another one. What is kindness? How do I know what is needed? How do I know how that comes across? This is why I really would like for you to write 50 things up there of what kindness is so that I can use those to sort of regulate my life. And people, that's the one thing I'm not going to do. I'm not going to turn this list of the fruit of the Spirit into a list of law for you. This is not law. This is not a list for you to go out and work on. This is for us to be sensitive of the leading of the Spirit. If we will walk in Him by faith and listen to Him, these are the things that He will give. Now, this one is the fruit of kindness. Where does this come in? If someone does you wrong, chapter 5, verse 19 through 21. Chapter 5, 19 through 21, immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing. The ones that are applicable to be done to another believer or another believer does these things. To you, or they just simply do them. What do they get from you if you're walking in the Spirit? What are they going to get from you? This is what they're going to get. The Holy Spirit will pour in kindness. Some of these we studied with spiritual love because they almost go together. What is long suffering? Long suffering is inside of me. Now, because long suffering is inside of me, something now can come out. We'll add to our, we did it in a triangle last night, now that we have finished the first four, and they're all creating an environment inside of you. The Holy Spirit is doing something inside of us. So if we just did this so we can kind of get a picture of inside of us, we have love, joy, peace, and we have long suffering. So here is long suffering. Now, all of this is going on inside of us. Each one of these are something affecting inside. There's a spiritual love starts within. There's an inner happiness inside my soul, peace inside of my relationship with God, long suffering, stabilizing inside. Now, another believer, or unbeliever, but it's more difficult when it's a believer, comes out and does one of those horrible things against you. What can now come out of you? The whole makeup that the Holy Spirit has given to us people makes it possible for what to come out of us now is kindness. You take away these things, and what comes out is bitterness. What comes out is anger. What comes out is revenge. What comes out is they've got to pay for what they've done. I've been hurt. They've got the hurt. But watch what happens with the hurt. It's taken care of with spiritual love, peace, relationship with God. Joy, long-suffering, will not allow that hurt to penetrate, interrupt your relationship with the Lord. So now what can you do? Now, you can just calmly continue to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit and allow Him to pour in this kindness out to them. If we sit and think about it, especially if we think about it in terms of law. I don't want to be kind. They don't deserve kindness. They deserve to be taken care of, straightened out, called on the carpet. All these kinds of things need to be done. But if I'm walking by faith in the Spirit, my mind isn't even thinking that way. My mind is thinking, what can I do to help them get back into the Spirit of their life? What can I do to help them to get what He has given to me? So I hope you can see how the Holy Spirit is working here. First of all, He stabilizes the inside. We saw this with spiritual love. First of all, He takes care of the inside so that something can come out from within us. In fact, with spiritual love, it's like every two are like that. Spiritual love is on the first long-suffering, then it's kind. Long-suffering does not boast, or is not jealous inside, does not boast outside. Please remember, as we go through all these things, it's paramount to the Christian life. It's not what you claim. It's your interaction with others. By this, Christ said in the New Commandment, by this, all will know that you're mine. Now, when He says that, He's given to us a goal, an objective, without elaborating on it. He just threw it out there. When He says, by this, all will know, well, then all of a sudden I realize, okay, that's what I want. In other words, what if I said, I don't care if anybody knows I belong to Christ or not. I don't care at all. Then you're not under the New Commandment. But more importantly, you don't even have the proper objective. I want Christ formed in me. So, what the Holy Spirit does is He gives us all of these things inside of our soul first, so that when we open our mouth, when we act, we have the sound of kindness, we have the action of kindness. And again, I want to say, I don't know what that is every time. I don't know how that's going to come out. And that's the dynamic. One of the dynamics of walking in the Spirit-filled life is to see how it's going to come out. I don't know how it's going to work. I don't know how it's going to do this and how it's going to do that. How it's going to think about this. What it's going to notice. What it isn't going to notice. Until it's on the line. Until it's demanded. And then the Holy Spirit just gets, and you walk away and you just shake your head smiling. Once you start seeing these things and they know, and you know in your soul, I did nothing to produce that. That's when the Spirit-filled life becomes lots of fun. That's when you start seeing Christ being formed in you. When you can say, I did absolutely nothing for that to happen within me. Jeff McKenzie and I have been at the hospital Saturday, Sunday, and Jeff was just talking about the things that I did and at the hospital with the various members of the family. And it was just a wonderful time for he and I to talk. How did you know to do this? And my answer is very simple. I don't know. I know that before I got out of the car, I knew where I was with the Spirit, and I just let Him guide through the whole deal. And you walk away and you go, wow, boy, you didn't, you know, and you look, no, you don't, I don't know. And you don't sit down and make a list. Okay. Be cognizant of this and be watch for the, that's so horrible to make lists out of this. No, I'm just going to walk into this situation in the power of the Spirit and trust Him. So this is what we're seeing with kindness. I don't know how it's going to come out. So we're not going to study 50 things about it. Now, love, joy, peace, suffering inside. Why? So that now the outer manifestation of the glory of Christ can now come out through you. If you understand the kindness that God desires is freely or graciously given to you by God the Father through the Holy Spirit, if you receive this by the Holy Spirit, then you'll understand how to fulfill all of the passages that like the ones we read too, and involving long-suffering, involving kindness. Look with me at Ephesians 4. Look with me at Ephesians 4. Different verse in Ephesians 4 we looked at just a second ago. But look at Ephesians 4, verse 32. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Let's start with the first. And be kind to one another. What does that mean? How am I going to do it? How am I going to know what to do? This is what I'm trying to get across. It's going to be different each time. Don't sit here and make this a law. Don't sit down and let's get all of our language books and let's get all of this stuff and figure out what love, what kindness is, and then let's be sure we do it. You won't do it by law. You won't do it by that way. What we want to do is, okay, Spirit, you're going into various circumstances. I'm listening and I'm watching for what? I'm watching for wisdom. I'm really going to need your wisdom here. This is a very strong verbal thing. I'm really going to need kindness here. I'm really going to need, and I'm trusting you, and we get our relationship with the Spirit into what He will pour. I'm going to be listening for your spiritual love guidance here. And you're just going to have to do it. Boom. And we walk into this situation trusting Him to do it. We walk by faith, trusting Him to do it. And what is so much fun is when you walk out after it's over and you walk away and you see what He's done, you just smile. Wow, that's what kindness is. That's what long-suffering is. That's how it acted this time. And slowly it just starts being enriched inside of us. So be kind to one another. How am I going to be kind to one another? Only in the power of the Holy Spirit by faith. Tender-hearted. I don't even know what that means. Does that mean I'm sloppy? That's something I always thought girls were tender-hearted. I didn't know men, machos, were tender-hearted. And here this is for men and women who are Christians. Forgiving each other, that's a tough one a lot of times. Just as we saw the last few days in the lady that was executed. Just as God in Christ Jesus also has forgiven you. Look over Colossians. Let's go over a few pages. Colossians, a few books. Colossians 3:12. And so as those who have been chosen by God, of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, a heart of kindness. How? How are you going to do it? And different preachers will tell you a lot of different things. Heart of humility, gentleness, patience. What are these? They're the fruit of the Spirit. I've got to trust if I will walk in the Spirit, He will give it to me. He will give me the heart of kindness, compassion. I don't know how compassion looks. I know how to have compassion on a little animal. I know how to have compassion on a cat or a dog that's hurt. I know how to have compassion on a little child. I don't know what compassion is on an adult. One-to-one basis. I don't even know what they need. I can look at a dog that's been hit by a car and know what compassion is. Because I know what they need. But I don't know what this person needs. So I don't know how to be compassionate. Every time in every situation. Only an arrogant person would say they do. But we can say, every situation, I trust Him to give it to me. And He will give me patience. He will give me, or in this case, He will give me kindness, compassion. He will give it to me. I don't even know what it is, but I'm going to be listening for Him, watching for Him. And when I'm in that situation, why did you do that? I don't know why I did that. I was compelled to do that by the compassion of the Spirit given to me. That's why I did it. So often people don't do things in the leading of the Spirit and therefore they end up quenching because they're just afraid to do it. People, if you go into a situation at home, in family, at work, social life, church, wherever it may be, and you're in walking in the Spirit, then pay attention to what you're led to do. So this is how it happened. Again, we come to let me ask another. We've been asking how. Let's ask another question right here. Why? Why does God make kindness a fruit of the Spirit? I want to ask how, but also, let's every now and then go into the why. Why does God make kindness a fruit of the Spirit? The answer is very simple. Because His Son is kind. His Son was kind when He walked in the humanity. His Son is kind now. And what am I doing? I'm putting on Christ. So if Christ is being formed in me, then it stands to reason that the Spirit would pour kindness through me. Look at Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, verse 4. But when the kindness of God our Savior, Jesus Christ, and His love for mankind appeared. So here we have the kindness of Jesus Christ, our Savior, in His humanity, appeared. Look with me at 1 Peter. This is His kindness, people. It's what I'm trying to show you. It's not my kindness. It's the kindness that the Holy Spirit gave to our Savior. It's the kindness that characterized Him. Therefore, when the Holy Spirit pours these things in through me, He is pouring Christ. This is His kindness. Look at 1 Peter 2:3. If you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. People, this is why if you love as Christ loved, if you're kind as Christ is kind, you've got to stand back and be able to know, I tasted of His kindness. I know what kindness tastes like. I know what kindness feels like. And that's what I want you, in dealing with another believer, I want you to feel from me what I feel from Christ. I know how it is. I think we've used that picture, that little example here. There's a parent and they have a child. And the child grows up and becomes a parent, and they have a child, and you get this point, you know, I don't know what love is. I'm going to love our children. I don't know what it is. I don't know, in this case, what kindness is. I don't know, but I know that I don't want what my parents gave me. How great it is to say, I want to tell you something, if we can be as kind to our child as my parent was to me, I know how that felt. I tasted their kindness when I didn't deserve it. I tasted their kindness when I needed it, and I know how kindness feels when you deserve something else. So if in your soul you have tasted of the kindness of Jesus Christ at the cross, you know how it tastes. You know how it feels. You know what it is. And now what you want to do, you want someone else to have feel that same way that you felt from Christ. And therefore, what are they receiving? What are they tasting? They are tasting the kindness of Jesus Christ flowing through you. This is how they're going to come to know the kindness of Christ, the kindness, the love of Christ, the kindness of Christ, all these things, the gentleness of Christ. How are they going to do this? Because it's going to come through you by the power of the Holy Spirit, pouring it to them, and now they're going to know, wow. And angels are watching, and they're seeing. And man is watching, and they're seeing. They're seeing the love of Christ, the kindness of Christ, the gentleness of Christ, all these things. And this person comes to reality. I tasted it. The way you were kind to me is really wonderful. Well, now that you've come back in and want to talk to me, let me tell you about that kindness. That kindness is from Christ. All I did for you was what He did for me. What a great opportunity to witness. And people, that's one of the ways that we are to witness. At work, all you do is, here you are at work, here you are, and here is another person, be he unbeliever or believer, isn't the issue. Here's another person, and you extend kindness to them, and they come back to you and say, that was very, very nice what you did. Well, let me tell you something. That wasn't me. That's the kind of kindness I received from Christ. And let me tell you about it very quickly. Not a sermon. You come back to me and you said that was what I did for you. Well, let me just be honest with you. I've tasted what you've tasted. Because I'm no different than you. And I receive what you'd receive from me, I receive from Christ. And bring them to Christ. This is what kindness, this is what all the fruit is about, people. It is about our witness to others. I know how Christ loved, by the way, you love me. See? And what's unfortunate is a lot of people don't know how Christ loves because of the way that believers treat them, the way that believers treat each other, biting, devouring, consuming one another. Nobody is extending the fruit of the Spirit or how Christ is whatsoever. So this is how Christ loves. Or this is the kindness of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:3, if you have tasted of the kindness of the Lord. So Jesus Christ is kind. And if you're going to have Christ formed in you, then you're going to have His kindness by the power of the Spirit flowing out from you. Kindness is what is needed, what is useful. Again, another way of understanding it is to understand the antonym. If they don't receive your kindness, what they're going to receive from you is that which is unprofitable, useless, and to their detriment. What kindness is something that is profitable to them. Profitable primarily to their spiritual life. Something that is useful. Something they can grab hold of and be reconciled or restored to God if that's what is needed. It is something not to their detriment, but to their edification. That's what kindness is. Now, the kindness of Christ can only come again through the power of God, the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 2, verse 4, let me just read it to you. Do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? People, this applies for both unbeliever and believer. It is the kindness of God, in the case in Romans, Jesus Christ, or you. It is this kindness that leads the unbeliever, leads the believer to restoration with God, reconciliation with God. It is kindness that attracts them and begs them to come to Him. All right, the sixth one. Galatians chapter 6, the sixth fruit of the Spirit, goodness. Goodness. Oh boy, here's a good word. Good. Good. Who determines what is good? Let's take something funny. Who determines what is good? To me, it is very simple what is good. Ice cream, breakfast, dinner, supper, lunch, rich food, lots of chips, all this kind of stuff. Good for my body? Absolutely not. Not in that much. So who or what determines what is good? We've got to have someone who says goodness. We've got to go by something to determine how we're going to determine what is good. Do you know there are people who will chop your head off and say that was for your good? There are people who will malign and slaughter you and say that was for your good. Well, thank you. Don't be so good to me next time. I'll just use a little of your being bad to me. So how are we going to determine what's good? Man from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and all of these beg, going back to the tree of knowledge of good and evil, by the way, but going back to the tree of knowledge of good and evil, man thinks he can discern what is good. And then he can discern what is good and do it. Man thinks that he can do this from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I heard a deacon once say, I don't need the Holy Spirit to know what's good and bad. Perfect position from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I don't need God to determine good and bad. I got that from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I know things like God now. I can do this. So what we have to first stand back when we see this is we have to make the first statement, I don't even know what that is. I honestly do not know. From the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, I can probably figure it out, but that's not going to be according to God. Scripture makes it very clear, only in the power of the Spirit can we know what is good. And only in the power of the Spirit can we produce that which is good. So I'm going to need the Spirit, one, to know what good is, and I'm going to need the Spirit of the living God to produce this goodness. Now, so the good that the Holy Spirit is going to give here, the goodness that the Holy Spirit is going to produce in me is going to be from God only, because it's going to be goodness according to Him. It's going to be opposite anything that I might think. I can just sit there and say, well, here's what's bad, so this must be good. But where does my understanding of goodness going to come from? It's going to come from the Holy Spirit in each given situation. Then comes the point, how am I going to know at exactly this point in my life, am I dealing with husband, wife, friend, family, work, social life, and of course, the all-important assembly, the local church. How am I going to know what is good and how to do it? How am I going to know that at that point? This is going to be by the power of the Holy Spirit. Goodness is a fruit of the Spirit, people. It is not a fruit of the flesh. It is not a deed of the flesh. It cannot be comprehended by the flesh. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. All right, Ephesians chapter 5, we'll look at verse 9. Ephesians 5, and we'll look at verse 9. For the fruit of the light. Now, we have seen that walking in the Spirit is walking in the light. Saw this in 1 John. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. The light is walking in the Spirit. So, again, we come into the fact, what would Jesus do? What is good here? It assumes that I can figure it all out. And that's wrong. What I will do is walk by the Spirit, and at that given moment, when goodness is needed, I am walking in the Spirit, that is what is going to flow through me. And as I slowly walk through life, and it starts coming into me, little by little, I'm going to get a more comprehensive picture of what good from the Holy Spirit is as far as my life is concerned. Look at Matthew 7, 18. Matthew 7, 18. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Whoa, that's profound, Lord. I want to tell you something. How many believers know that as far as agriculture is concerned, but do not know it in the spiritual life? Because they think they can do good in the flesh, and it can't be done. This is a profound statement. Look at verse 19. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So, where am I going to get this good fruit coming through me? Fruit that is good coming from the Holy Spirit. Because the flesh has nothing good in it. The only good that can come from the Spirit or from the flesh is bad. It's the good of the flesh. But the goodness before God will come through the Holy Spirit. Look with me at Romans 7. Romans 7. Romans 7 verse 18. For I know that nothing good dwells in me. That is, in my flesh. People, you know, a lot of times we can say this, but do you really believe that? Do you really believe that statement? Enough so that no matter what the circumstances are, I've got to be in the Spirit. Because I know people that would say yes to that and turn right around, well, I don't need the Spirit to do that. I don't need the Spirit to discern this or that. I can figure it out. So either we mean this or we don't. Let's continue reading now. Romans 7, 18. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For the wishing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. Good according not to law, but to the Lord. Verse 19. For the good I do not do. We know why now, don't we? You can't do good in the flesh. You cannot do good in the flesh. But I practice the very evil that I do not wish. That's that list that we read in Galatians 5, 18 through 21. Verse 20. But if I am doing the very thing that I do not wish, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wishes to do good. So, we have inside of us the good, the bad, because there's nothing good in me, so I'm going to have to do what? I'm going to have to walk in the Spirit to have this good come about. So goodness is what is given to those who do not deserve it, do not earn it, but it's what is going to be received. Look with me at Luke. Let's look at Luke chapter 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke 6. Okay, Luke chapter 6. Look at verse 33. Luke 6, 33. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even unbelievers do the same. You're good to me, I'm good to you. It's kind of like you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners in order to receive back the same amount. In fact, a lot of them want more than the same amount. They want back that interest. All right, verse 35. But love your enemies and do good and lend. So we get an idea of what is good is what is good for them in their life. Here, not only in the spiritual realm, but even in the realm of their living. They need something that'll be good for them in their living. Expecting nothing in return. Wow! People, this can only be done in the power of the Spirit that's going to be praiseworthy to God. And your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Okay, let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. A lot of this in Ephesians, but back to chapter 2. But let's look at chapter 2 this time, verse 10. Different verse. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for what? Good works. Now, where does the good come from? It's a fruit of the Spirit. I have to rely on the Holy Spirit, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That is in the production of the Holy Spirit. Look at 1 Timothy. You've gone over past 2 Thessalonians. You come to 1 Timothy. 5:10. 1 Timothy 5:10. Let me get there. I was looking at something else. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 10. Having a reputation for good works. And if she has brought up children, if she has shown hospitality to strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has assisted those in distress, and if she has devoted herself in every good work. So, we get a feel of understanding good is what a person needs, not only in their spiritual life, but in their physical life, so that it is easier for them to move back into the spiritual life. That's what really counts to us. Look at chapter 6, verse 18 of 1 Timothy. Chapter 6, verse 18, instruct them to do good. What does that mean? Walk in the Spirit by faith. To be rich in good works. To be generous and ready to serve. So in all of these, we're getting this idea that if we're following this, good is going to be something the Spirit's going to lead me to that you need physically. That is going to benefit your spiritual life. Now again, this is given to us because of the goodness of Jesus Christ. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Christ formed in me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Let's look at verse 11 and 12. To this end also we pray for you always. Now, I want to know sometimes what to pray for another believer. Just look at some of the ways Paul prays. Pray for you always that our God may count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire for a goodness and the work of faith, that's our faith in the Spirit, with power, the power of the Holy Spirit, in order that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in Him according to the grace of our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at John chapter 7, the Gospel of John chapter 7. John 7, verse 12. John chapter 7, verse 12. And there was much grumbling among the multitudes concerning him. Some were saying, he is a good man. Others were saying, no, he, on the contrary, he leads the multitude astray. Look at John chapter 10, John 10, verse 11. John 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Okay, people. Christ formed in you. You want Christ formed in you? Then this goodness is part of the formation of Christ coming through us. Okay, the seventh one. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. The seventh fruit of the Spirit in our study in Galatians chapter 5. Faithfulness. Okay, this is faithfulness in your relationship with God, your relationship with Jesus Christ, your relationship with the Holy Spirit. This is the manifestation of the truthfulness of the, or the truth of the gospel. Our faithfulness in doing the will of God. Now I want you to listen to this, because this is not faith. This is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit giving faith. This is faithfulness. When I am walking in the Holy Spirit, we are walking, put it on the board so you can see this because I want you to be clear on it, walking by faith in the Holy Spirit will produce a faithfulness toward Christ, a faithfulness in living the Christian life, a faithfulness in pleasing God, a faithfulness in what God would have me to do. So get this in your understanding. Faithfulness is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, not something we strive to be. I want to be faithful. I want to be at every Bible class. I want to be at every... And we turn this into law. No, the Holy Spirit will guide us. I don't need to exhort in being in the assembly. I don't need to exhort in various areas. What I need to exhort you to do is to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, He then will give you. I don't have to control anyone. And I'm so thankful for that once I begin to see it. I don't have to brow people to be in Bible class. I don't have to do all that. Give you all of this scary stuff about it. No. What I have to do is exhort and encourage you to walk by faith in the Spirit. And allow the Holy Spirit, when you're walking by faith in Him, to cause you to be faithful in the things that you ought to be doing. And it's a whole lot of things that will happen. Faithful in worship. Faithful in prayer. Faithful in the assembly. Faithful in giving. Faithful in witnessing. Faithful, faithful in all the things that He would have you do with your spiritual gift, in your spiritual life. Faithfulness is a result, a fruit of God the Holy Spirit. Don't work on being faithful. Concentrate on walking into this, walking by the Spirit, and then He will guide you. Because people, let me show what I can do. And what a lot of churches do. It's all of them. I have my list. And I want you to be faithful to that. You know that. All I do is decide, what is my list? My list is, you be here and learn doctrine. And I want you to be faithful. And that just becomes the momentum. I want you to be morally righteous. And I want you to be faithful. I want you to be faithful as far as service. I want you to be faithful in giving. Whatever it is I want to really emphasize, and really get into your head to work hard, to be faithful in those areas. Forget all of that. I won't even hit people. Let me tell you something. If I do this, make this list, I won't hit the areas that the Holy Spirit will lead you in being faithful. I'll miss them. Because the faithful life by the Holy Spirit is different for each one of us. Your own personal life, what He wants you faithful at doing, has a lot to do a lot of times with your spiritual gifts. And I go make a list, and I don't even have your gift in there. So don't go with this list stuff, people browbeating you, you've got to be faithful to do this. People, I'm not going to do that. And don't let anybody do that to you. Taking a chance? I've been told that. Taking a chance? Yeah. Yep. But people, if I have to do it by beating and browbeating, controlling, it's no honor to Him. So if you're here, just to use that one for example, because I've been browbeating you, and this is the big one I want you to be faithful to, and you're here in the flesh, it doesn't matter whether you're here in the flesh, or whether you're home watching TV in the flesh, or somewhere else in the flesh. Wherever you are, all I want you to do is to be in the power of the Spirit and be led by Him to be there. And there'll be times you won't be here. And you shouldn't be here. I grew up spiritually in an environment where people would come and they were rude to family members. They would come if they were dying of illness, leaving children in the cars who were sick. I mean, I could just give you a long, horrifying list of turning this into law. God forgive me if I ever do that again. Do more than forgive me. Jolt me. I want to do one thing. I want to exhort you to walk by faith in the Spirit and let Him pour faithfulness into your soul. So faithfulness here is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. And the faithfulness again that I want poured from the Holy Spirit is the faithfulness, the same faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Where has the evening gone? 2 Thessalonians 3. I haven't even done that much preaching, I don't think. 2 Thessalonians 3. Sometimes an hour can be so long, and sometimes an hour goes so fast. All right, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, look at verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, and He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. People, I want His faithfulness in you. And the only way you're going to get His faithfulness in you is to walk by faith in the Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Faith comes from you. Faithfulness comes from the Holy Spirit. And it's a very important thing that you see the difference in what's going on here. Okay, well, since there's a couple of them, look at Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. And we'll look at verse 17. Hebrews 2, verse 17. Therefore, He had to be made like His brethren in all things, that He, Jesus Christ, might become a merciful and faithful high priest. faithful in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. This is the faithfulness of Christ in going to the cross. So here we kind of add the idea of the suffering that will come by doing love and the faithfulness to doing it. You will be faithful in the faithfulness that was His. Look at chapter 3, verse 6. Chapter 3, verse 6. But Christ was faithful. Came from the Holy Spirit, people. And you can have this same faithfulness. But Christ was faithful as a son, and you are sons of God by faith in Christ, over His house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. Now, there's a lot going on here, but what I want you to see is that Christ is faithful, and we have that same faithfulness in us. If we're going to be faithful in the Christian life, we're going to have to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit. Look at Revelation chapter 1, first of all, Revelation chapter 1, two passages in Revelation. Revelation chapter 1, and the first thing I would like you to look at is verse 5. Revelation 1, 5, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. When you're walking in the Spirit, you will be a faithful witness. Now look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Revelation 2:10. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death. Continue to walk by faith in the Spirit. Continue to trust me. Don't lose your hope. Just continue to be faithful when it looks really bad. We don't know the reasons, the pretenses, whether they're real or imaginary. It doesn't even matter if they're real reasons why they're thrown in prison. The reason they're thrown in prison is because Satan's after them. And when all of these things start happening to you in life, what starts to want to happen is, I don't want to be faithful. I don't want to. I don't want to walk in faith. But people, if we will just walk in faith in the Spirit, He, God, the Holy Spirit, will give us this faithfulness in the most trying of moments. And it may go for quite a while. I have this with patience, with the long suffering in yourself. And you just keep going on and on and on. I can't do that in the flesh, but God, the Holy Spirit, can pour this in me. Okay, we have two left. I thought we'd for sure get through with this tonight. We didn't. So we will start here Sunday morning. Please be in prayer for tomorrow night and Friday night. I'll be in Hot Springs teaching there. Jean's told me there's going to be several people who have not come at all, but she's been in just really wonderful prayer, and the Spirit has led her to several people that have not been a part of anything. So please be in prayer tomorrow night. We'll start at 7, and Friday night, 7. So please remember that, and remember them and me, that the Spirit will speak to them. Let's pray. Father, we go through these things and we know that we can't do them. And thank you so much that they're not a list. Thank you so much that they're not something we have to carry through, work at. All we have to do, our obedience, is obedience at His faith. My part is to trust Your Spirit, and Your Spirit will pour these things through. Father, that's so much of a relief, because we know in truth that in truth we can't even figure out what some of them are at any given minute. And we also know we just can't keep doing this and working at it and thinking about them and trying and striving in the flesh and all of this, we would grow very weary. We would stumble and fall backward and be taken snare. Ours is the obedience just to trust You, to rest in the work of Your Spirit. To just kind of be there and watch what these things look like, what gentleness looks like. Oh, that's what it looks like coming to me. That's what faithfulness looks like. That's what kindness looks like coming to me. And then, Father, we're drawn to praise You once we see these things start coming. In our relationship with our husbands and our wives, our friends, work, social, assembly, everywhere. And it becomes a real joy. We praise You, Father, in Your Son's precious name. Amen. Mm-hmm.